The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Good afternoon. Second hour of the show. Where is Joel? Joel's not in.
He's on vacay.
He's just on vacation.
Yeah, I think
is he on a trip or anything, or he's just...
I don't know. I think he realized that he was going to lose his vacation if he didn't take it.
Use it or lose it.
And he didn't know that was the rule around here.
They do have like some sort of grace period where it rolls over.
But I was going to say, it's January.
Yeah, but
I mean, we're already into.
They have a grace period.
Oh,
yeah,
that's what they do.
But I was
that's what they do for you.
Trust you. I'm same time. I don't know you. I'm that dude. So I was like, no, nah, you. If I'm not. I don't trust a grace period. I'm taking it all before January 1st.
Joel strikes me as the kind of person that goes like skiing on vacation, you know?
Like he's fancy?
He lives that kind of life. No, it's not fancy. I mean, it's just, you know.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't he go skiing? I mean, don't you? Wouldn't you think that?
I think with the kid, probably not now. Until she's older.
I guess we just know him too much as like a basketball player.
Yeah.
He's like an athlete, you know.
Skiing is athletic.
Yeah, but I don't know if he...
Not
yeah,
that way.
It is, yeah.
I don't see him doing that either.
You can't see him and the wife on...
No, I think Lisa would be like, you're taking me to Tahoe, but not to ski.
Okay.
We're going to go shopping.
Wait. Yeah, I can see that too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Have you been skiing?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I love to go skiing.
You've been skiing, Jerome?
Yeah, please. I've been around.
What does look at me mean, Jerome? Look at me.
I've been where the skiing was taking place.
I wasn't going to be the one to say that.
Look at me. What does that mean? Look at me.
I'm going to go skiing for it.
Or you got like one leg shorter than the other? It's like, they don't make skis for that.
I'm going to put on some sticks onto the bottom of my Jerome's got to go sliding down a mountain. What the hell I want to do that?
Jerome's got bad hips. He's got to have corrective skis, like corrective shoes. Line him up right.
Every flight I've ever been on from any ski resort area, there are people on crutches.
Uh-huh.
And I'm talking 100% of the
Didn't,
time.
Didn't Sonny like, no, Bono die that way? Hit a tree and died?
Did he?
Yeah, I think so. Accident.
Yep.
That's happened to quite a few people.
Yeah.
Somebody's wife, one a big, well-known named actor. I mean, she was an actress too, I think. But like maybe Liv Schreiber or something? His wife?
Really?
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know.
No, still something.
I've always found that fascinating that, I mean, I guess I did hit a parked car on my bike one time. Just drove right into a parked car, riding my bicycle as a kid. I was looking back at something. So I guess I could see where you would be distracted and maybe hit a tree. But that's always fascinated me that the tree's not moving. The tree didn't come out of nowhere and blindside you.
And I think
you had to go to the tree.
But he might have been.
At some point in your journey to the tree. I would at least like sit it down, like lay it down, because you know you're supposed to. They tell you how to stop and all that.
Yeah, but you assume the person has lost control. I mean,
do you? I mean, I guess. I put it this way: I've never been on a slope steep enough for that to matter. When I go skiing, I'm bunny slopes, and then I'm the next level
ain't
up.
Really mess around on the
mic. No, I'm next level up from the bunny slopes.
Yeah.
I don't need to be going too fast down a mountain.
Liam Neeson's wife.
Oh, really?
That's who it was. Natasha I totally Richardson. Forgot about that, too.
The mountain took her. She was
Yeah, it is.
In Sonny Bono's case, I think he went into like a restricted area though. Like he went skiing somewhere he wasn't supposed to. That's why. But I totally forgot about Liam Neeson's wife.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know that was the case.
Yeah. But no, I mean, skiing, it looks like.
I love it. I have a blast, but I'm not like a competitive. I'm not, no.
I'm much more chill by the fire in the cabin.
Yeah.
You know, with some whiskey.
Okay.
You know, a cigar.
Yeah.
You know. Couple of honeys.
Oh, little snow bunnies here and there.
I didn't say snow bunnies, I said honeys.
It wasn't a racial thing. It was just that's a term. It doesn't imply. They have black bunnies too, Jerome.
Everything racial with you. I've learned.
With me?
I've learned to be on guard when I'm around you.
Oh, okay. Why are you wearing them black shoes? Huh? What? I don't know. Because they match.
Coming in on the show today. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776.
All right. Before we get to sports, I got to tell you about what sous vide is. It's this, and I remember talking to, we were talking food one day, and I think this was on Game Day back in the day. Rest in peace, Houston Game Day. And I remember, I think it was Tyler was producing. It was before Nick took over, but we were talking food as we often did on Houston Game Day, and we were talking about different ways to cook steaks, and we were talking about, you know, pan seared or on gas or on charcoal and all these things. And Tyler had mentioned about cooking it sous vide, and I had never heard of that. And he was like, yeah, you basically cook it in water, you boil it. And I was like, that sounds like the worst way to cook a steak. Turns out it's probably the best way to cook a steak. And it's just this thing that you put into a pot. So you get a big pot of water and you put this, it kind of looks like it's a long cylinder, and it looks like, it almost looks like a baton, like a relay. Like when you run a relay race and they have the baton.
Yeah.
It almost looks like that. It's just a little bit bigger, but that clips onto the side of the pot, which is full of water, and it heats the water to a perfect temperature. And then you put your steak or your pork loin or pork chop or whatever it is you want to cook into a Ziploc bag. You put it underwater and you set the timer and you walk away, and it cooks it evenly and perfectly all the way through. And then you just take that off, like you take your steak off and you sear it in a pan just to kind of get some, you know, to because I guess some crust on it or whatever. And then you eat it. And it is the perfect steak.
Yeah, I'm every time. Now, it's a method of cooking in which food is vacuum sealed in a plastic pouch or a glass jar, then placed in a water bath or steam environment for longer than normal cooking times, usually 1 to 7 hours.
No, you can cook a steak in like 45 minutes with these things. It don't take 7 hours to cook a steak. The big advantage of it is, this is what...
And they say the temperature is much lower than normally when you use for cooking...
Well, it's even too. So you figure it's
cooked evenly and sure the inside is properly cooked without, but okay.
Because, you know, like if you grill a steak, you've got hot spots on the grill, cold spots. You ever had like the grease flare up and then you get a flame on one half of the steak? Well, that's going to cook the steak faster than the part that's not on fire from the grill. And you run into all these, the water is one even temperature. The steak sits in there and you won't have, you know, have you ever had like a medium rare steak?
You don't get the char though.
But that's why you pan sear. No, you put it in the pan.
That's another thing. Black people don't eat medium rare.
What?
You might as well not even cook the thing if you're eating it rare.
Yeah, that's how you eat a steak, though. No, you got anything else is wrong. I'm just here to tell you.
You do it well done, or what do you like?
No, you get at least medium. I mean, that's
at least.
Not, I mean, well, you get medium. I mean, it's a.
Do you put ketchup on it too, like Joel does? Because he gets idiotic. His well done and puts ketchup on it.
That's just dumb.
Are you do put A1 on a steak?
No, you don't know. Okay. Not if you cook it properly. You don't need any of that.
Oh, I'm just making sure. I don't know.
But you need the char for it to be proper.
But that's what you do. So they tell you, you put it in the bag, you put your seasoning in, you put it in the water inside the bag, and it cooks usually for 45 minutes at the perfect temperature. And then you have several different things you can do to get the char. You can put it on the grill for a couple seconds on each side just to get that char. You can put it in a pan. You can put it in an iron skillet. You can do all those things. You can bake it, whatever you want. But that's just to get that char. But the inside, if you ever cut open a steak, you notice sometimes you'll see like at the on the edges of it, closest to the exterior, it's usually it may be brown. Mm-hmm. It may look well done, even though the center of the meat is medium rare, whatever. But the edges will be kind of a tan or a brown or whatever. You don't get that when you cook this way. in the sous vide.
I like the vacuum seal.
It's crazy.
But that's the point of a medium. You don't want the whole
steak. But it would be medium all the way through. When you cook medium, the edges, like the top and the bottom of the steak, is going to be well done or done.
Yeah, exactly. That's what medium is.
No, medium is the red in the middle.
I don't want the whole steak to be red.
Why? That's medium.
That's crazy. That's why you cook it.
No.
So you cook it so it won't
bleed.
So
what you get is you get it well done on the outside and medium in the middle.
It's not well done, but it's done. It ain't supposed to
that's
be.
That's a horrible way to eat a steak.
Says the man who got to put cheese on top of a Chick-fil-A.
Somebody said they get pepper jack cheese on a Chick-fil-A spicy sandwich. It's the best thing ever. See, I'm telling you, man. No,
I'll pass on that.
Okay,
713-780 ESPN is number 713-780-3776. I guess that music means we need a break.
Sounds like it.
Sounds like it. When we come back, we will talk about those college games from yesterday. Looks like a SEC team going to lose in the national championship game.
Again. Yeah. I bet one wins
it,
though.
That's an overrated conference, I tell you. It's been overrated all season.
I bet the SEC wins a national title this year.
They got a good shot. We'll get into that and some other things when we come back. This is The Usual Suspects.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back into the show. Are you a video game guy?
I am.
Big time?
I wouldn't say big time, but I'll play the games that, you know, I might play and finish 3 games, 4 games a year.
Okay. The World Health Organization just announced that for the first time, it is including gaming disorder in its list of mental health conditions.
Disorder? Gaming disorder.
Gaming disorder is a pattern of persistent or recurrent gaming behavior, both on or offline. It's a mental disorder now.
What, like staying up late and then shirking all your other responsibilities you can play video games?
Notable traits include patients prioritizing gaming over life interests or daily activities.
That's Nick.
Or escalation of gaming despite occurrence of negative consequences.
And I'm not that good at it.
Patients must have shown the symptoms for at least a year before the diagnosis. Although the guidance state that this is subject to change depending on the severity of the case.
That sounds ridiculous. This sounds like this is the beginnings of a reason to have another drug introduced.
I don't know if they say anything about a treatment for it.
I mean, the treatment would be just take the game away. I would think. Like,
duh, cure.
Yeah, guess what? You know?
But that's part of what makes it a mental disorder that you can't rid yourself of. Say,
well, then maybe it's adults.
You got people going through withdrawals. Yeah, I mean, adults do that too. Like, I know dudes that's all they do is they'll play. They'll call in sick because they stayed up till 5, 6 in the morning playing video games and won't go to the work the next day. And then they'll just play straight. I know guys that haven't gone to bed for 36 hours.
They have a problem. The UK Addiction Treatment Center provides treatment for alcohol, gambling, and substance abuse. And they also have had, since 2014, they've had 36 inpatients for gaming addiction.
Can I tell you how it's
like the Betty Ford for gaming addiction.
You know what this was? This was a group of people that worked at this clinic sitting around going, well, we can't get anybody else to come in on that's on drugs. We got to come up with something new. Drugs is running its course.
They
smoking
too much of that.
We made sex an addiction. Let's see what else can we do. Because they have, there's an addiction for everything now. And so now what they're saying is that essentially video gaming is an addiction.
Use of the internet, computers, smartphones, and other electronic devices has dramatically increased.
You know what's going to happen? Yeah.
So that is also, while it's been a benefit to most people, it has also turned into a real problem for people who are addicted to gaming, because now your gaming is everywhere. You can't get away from the game. The game is calling you.
But do you know what's going to happen?
It's like the alcohol calling you if you're an alcoholic.
No.
Jack Daniels talking to you, man.
That's a chemical reaction in your body is why you get addicted to alcohol and tobacco and drugs. Gaming is, that's like when you watch a commercial for a drug and they're like, do you have any of these symptoms? They're like, do you ever wake up from sleeping or get a headache? And you're like, I do both of those. I think I have whatever they're saying I have. They're going to be like, do you ever play Candy Crush while you're pooping? You might have gaming disorder. It's like, what? No, I'm bored. I don't have that. They're gonna have a bunch of stuff that most people fall under, or a couple of them at least. It's like, have you ever stayed up past midnight playing a game? Yeah. Have you ever called in sick and played video games all day? Yeah, because I didn't want to go to work, and that's what I did. But they're going to make it so that people really think they have a problem.
Have you ever been in the middle of a game, or has your gaming caused you relationship difficulties with?
Like, has your wife ever said, hey, come to bed and have sex, and you said, no, I'd rather stay up and play video games? Now you may have a mental problem. Now.
I don't want to gloss over it. Let's rewind a little bit here. Uh-huh. I caught some skepticism from you over the existence of sexual addiction.
Yeah.
You care to elaborate?
I don't think that's a real thing. I don't think that it's sex. Like, you either look, don't mistake being a hoe for being a sex addict. That's no. Like,
it happens.
You're just a hoe. You're not. And I'm not being specific to a gender here. I'm not saying that you're just a hoe. That's it. Like, you're just a hoe. It's not an addiction. You don't need to go to a 12-step program and get a hug and be like, hey, everybody, my name's Jerome and I'm a sexaholic. You're just a hoe. There's no cure for being a hoe. You know what the cure for being a hoe? You know what?
One of those meetings.
You know what your rate of scoring is at a sexaholics place? Man, you know, because you know everybody there is down. No matter what, you know they are down. And then it's just, hey, I'll sponsor you.
But they're trying to quit.
Well,
trying to cut down.
I wonder if it's like, hey, you know what? We don't have to have sex, but a handy's like the patch.
Like, I think that's one of those things you can't say.
No, you can say that. That's how you cut down on it. That's maybe. I don't know. I wonder if they do have a patch for that.
Kevin, welcome to the Usual Suspects. Will you help my man out, please?
Me?
What's up, guys?
What's up, Kevin?
This is Nick's bodyguard, by the way.
Oh, okay.
How you doing, Barry?
What up, man?
Hey, these alternate types of addictions that are more new age come across are actually, really similar to what you see with drug and alcohol addiction. You know, there's a high percentage of people that get into drugs, alcohol, and stuff like this because of some type of depression. They're running from something. You know, you have your people that just party too hard and ended up getting caught, but it's the same way. And, and I'm a gamer. I'm also a sports junkie. So, but you lose yourself in this something that takes your mind off of whatever you're personally dealing with. It may be an escape that turns into something that becomes more of a mental condition with depression and stuff like that. And, you know, the addiction is not necessarily just some fad. It's just saying that this is what you've used to deal with these problems, so you get lost in it. There's a lot of people that get lost in these, you know, big games that, end up causing financial problems. There's a lot of money you can spend in these games that is needless money spent this way. So, I mean, it's a big problem everywhere you go, but it all usually stems from the same path, which is some form of depression, some form of trauma, or something like that.
Yeah, see, you can't go making fun of people's condition.
Appreciate the call, Kevin. Right? No, I'm
and,
not.
And there are, there, here's maybe the there thing. Are endorphins that he, are released no. when you're playing.
He glossed over the underlying true issue.
Was his depression.
Yes. So yeah. you're saying you're depressed, you're running from something else, so you're using the game as an escape. But you don't get addicted to playing the game. You get addicted to not having to think or address the issue of depression.
No, but what he
or no, you use it as no, an excuse.
No, what he was saying though was
I'm a doctor. I know these things.
But what he was saying though is that he thinks a lot of times drug issues and alcohol issues
becomes a thing.
Stem from something else, and this is just like
well, that. you start smoking weed because it takes you away. You don't have to think about it, or you start drinking because it takes your mind off of your problems. So it becomes the escape. The difference between the two is you're both of them. You're running from the underlying issue. But the difference is you're not going to get chemically addicted to a video game. You can get chemically addicted to alcohol. You can get chemically addicted to crack.
You can get mentally addicted. And
I guess I mean,
and you can get chemically addicted to sex.
You need what? Go ahead. I'm going to let you finish. What do you need chemically from the sex that you are giving? You see Jerome butt naked on like 34th Street just slapping his arm like, it's time me off. I need a hit. Oh. Sure. Hey, I'll.
To the crack.
Yeah, because you know what people do for crack. You know what they'll do? I wonder, would you do that to have sex? It's an Inception thing.
Yeah.
You trying to think about it? I'm
trying not to.
I can't say the words on the radio now. But basically.
Now? You've said it before?
Well, I don't want to get Nick in trouble, but yeah, I probably would say.
Why is it me getting in trouble for what you said?
Because you're the producer. Isn't that who it falls
to? Stop it.
Dr. Dre wants to know if panty sniffing is an addiction. I don't know, man. I mean, that's up to you. I don't know.
No, that's just this plain old sickness.
That's just gross.
That's just plain old sickness.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
No, people.
I never understood how.
Have you? I know you probably on Twitter and you have women who follow you or you follow women or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And if you look through their mentions sometimes, how regular and often it is that women in social media, people hit them up asking for the panties.
No, I haven't
just
noticed
just out of the blue.
Is that really?
Yeah.
That's a thing?
It's hilarious. I'm like, but yeah.
What are you doing with a pair of panties? I don't know. That doesn't make any sense.
What?
Like, what?
That would do nothing for me, but.
No?
But, no, porn stars sell panties and stuff all the time.
There are people buying used panties from a porn star?
Yeah, they've been worn and, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Look, Google it up.
No, I don't need to Google that.
Don't do on the dark web. You get that on the white web.
That does sound like something white people would do, is buy used panties. I don't know. That doesn't sound like a brother thing.
The brother's the one selling them.
Just in a trunk. the trunk of an old Cutlass.
Some of the pink ones over there, dog.
Hey, I got what you need, man. I got what you need, player. What you got? I got them panties, y'all. Just pop a trunk full of old nasty panties. What you want? I got big girl panties. I got G-string panties.
I got streaks and streak free. What you got?
Oh, it's streaks. Are there dudes out there sniffing the streaks in the panties for sexual gratification?
Whatever they do,
man. Dr. Dre on 290, you're weird, dude.
People are into some stuff.
I guess so.
We'll be back in a minute.
Oh.
ESPN 97.5.
First of all, I want to start off by saying this is not a referendum on my tenure because my tenure is not over. Okay, this is a comma, not a period. But I did want to come down and at least provide a little bit of detail about the decision and obviously the statement yesterday. I just have made a very difficult decision with my wife, my beautiful wife, who I thought was important to have her here, so you can see how good she's looking and how healthy she is. And I think it's just important that she's here, and We made this decision because family is the most important thing.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back in. Jerome Solomon subbing in today, along with Barry here. Nick is on the controls. And that was Rick Smith, the former general manager, but still executive vice president of the Houston Texans. And as he said, this leave of absence that he's taking to tend to his wife, Tiffany, and her breast cancer. It'll last a year, we've been told now. And Rick says it's a comma, not a period. I mean, it seems like the reports we're getting that it might be more like a semicolon than a, but, or might be an exclamation point at some point. But Sarah Boschop, who covers the Texans for ESPN.com, joins us now to talk a little bit about this. Did you get a better sense, Sarah, of Rick's, you know, position or the likelihood of him returning to the organization here over the last 24 hours since he's talked and now Bill O'Brien spoke this morning?
I mean, the way it sounds to me is that the Texans plan on him being with the team in that executive vice president role. I mean, I think the McNairs obviously find him to be a valuable part of the team. They like what he's done for this, you know, for this organization. So I think he'll always have that role. Now, he made it sound like, you know, I mean, he said, if they hire a general manager, I totally understand. You know, that's fine. It sounds like after listening to Bill O'Brien today that that's what they intend to do, to hire someone to replace Rick and then have him still maintain that and maybe promote him when he comes back in a year's time to perhaps president of the team or something like that.
Is this something that internally people were aware of and knew was coming and they just kept it under wraps, or did this catch a lot of people within the organization itself by surprise as well?
I think some people, I think they thought of it as the people who should know knew. I mean, I don't know that it was a secret. I mean, all of the football ops staff, Rick said, knew that she was dealing with the cancer. Now, I don't know if they knew that's how, you know, it was going to come at the end of the season. I think some people knew, but I talked to a couple of people who said they had no idea.
In other words, did Bill O'Brien know? I mean, because the talk, you know, 7 days ago was he was going to be out the door and there was all this posturing and everything else. Was he aware of this and that this was going to happen this way?
I don't know. I don't know about that. Heard from people around him that they didn't know, but that doesn't mean that he did. I'm sure he didn't find out after the game like everyone else on Sunday, but I don't think it's something he's known all season or anything like that.
And wouldn't it be a particularly fascinating thing, or what I find particularly fascinating is that the thought of Rick taking this leave of absence, if there were any inkling that that was even possible, or certainly probable, but even possible, I would think, you would think that the discussions and rumors and stories that are being reported by national reporters and locally that all came out last week, that there would be no need for those line in the sand type of reports coming out if the Bill O'Brien faction or Bill O'Brien's people, shall I say, knew that, you know, there's a possibility Rick Smith might be stepping away anyway. That seemed like odd timing for those stories to come out and then for Rick to have this announcement on Sunday.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think I don't think this is something that Bill has known for a while. I think those stories that have come out, very interesting. Both men addressed it this week, and they both said they have a great relationship, although Bill really just said, hey, we talk every day and we communicate. So that's very different than saying, like, oh, we have an excellent relationship. So I don't know. I think it's interesting. I don't know if we'll ever know truly what went down. But I don't know. It definitely has been a weird week in Houston in that aspect.
So we know that today several members of O'Brien's staff have been let go in different ways, but essentially, though, there's been some house cleaning, not completely, but was and I asked Jerome to start the show, and I'm curious your thoughts since you know cover this team every day. Was this some sort of negotiation? Was there the point where it was like, hey, Bill, we're going to keep you, but you've got to make some changes? Or was this a Bill O'Brien decision that maybe he approached management and said, hey, don't worry, I'm going to make these changes?
I think everyone involved in this knows that this team has to be better. When you have the skilled players you have now, of course, this year a lot of those guys were injured. When you have players like this, you have a window where you feel like you can win. You have to win. Can't go 4-12. So I think Bill has been very clear that his goal is to be better. I mean, last year they got rid of George Gotsi and Bill took over play calling. This isn't the first time he's made changes like that. So I don't know. I can't, from what I know of Bob McNair, I can't imagine he said, look, this is how you're going to do it. You're going to have to make these changes. I think they're just they've identified areas which they can improve, and, you know, they've seen that these are measures they could take to get them there.
Sarah Barshop of ESPN joining us here. She covers the Texans for ESPN on our HRNP listener line. Sarah, The special teams obviously were a disaster. What do you get from the discussions of the secondary that did not play very well, but that particular firing seems to stand out in a sense that the players didn't perform? I don't know if they were not being coached very well or they just weren't very good this year. What is your sense of that?
I think just sometimes you need to change because it didn't work. And whether maybe the reason, Kevin Johnson hasn't played well in these first couple of years, it's not just because of the injuries, but because he's not being coached well. Maybe what they've looked at, if they decided it's just time to move on. Sometimes personalities don't mesh and they're just ready to move on. I think you can't just look at it and say, oh, this person is no longer in the job because they weren't good at their job. I think there are lots of different factors that go into that.
And I also found it very interesting that it was kind of a side note in a way. It was in the middle of another answer, but Bill O'Brien was praising his quarterback's coach, but also said, he'd like to be able to call plays in this league, and I don't want to stand in his way, which, you would think he'd go, you could make him your offensive coordinator and let him call plays here, but O'Brien's not giving that up, apparently. Is that your sense, too?
Yeah, I think that's what he made pretty clear today, is that he is not interested. I mean, you saw what he did with Deshaun. I don't understand why he would not call plays anymore if he can replicate what he did in those 7 weeks with Deshaun. I think he had a lot of fun. That was the most creative we've seen this offense, and part of that's the quarterback, of course. But Deshaun gave him the weapons and tools to allow him to call a game like that. And so I think he really enjoyed that and really likes being really heavily involved with the offense. And I think it's great, actually, that he's not – I mean, a lot of coaches will block their assistants from interviewing somewhere else. So I think that's nice. He recognizes that, some guys like Sean Ryan want to call plays one day, but it's probably not going to happen in Houston.
So I know Mike Vrabel has been given permission to talk to the Detroit Lions about their vacant head coaching position. Vrabel is a name that's being mentioned on several lists of potential candidates. I'm not so sure he's going to get a head coaching job right away. Usually the first step is just to get the interviews, especially coming off the season they did. But let's just say that the Lions do hire him. What is your feel on what the Texans will do? Will they make Romeo Crennel the defensive coordinator again, or will they continue to make him the assistant head coach and fill the DC spot with somebody else?
They really like Romeo, and Bill said today that Romeo will be back. But maybe the Texans would be interested in having them as their defensive coordinator again, but from when I've talked to him, he really enjoys this role. So I don't know that he would be willing to go back, and maybe he would. But I think it's probably a two-way street there, and if they find someone else they like, I think maybe they would opt to promote him instead of putting Romeo back as the defensive coordinator.
Did Bill O'Brien talk today, and for people who weren't listening in, did he get into particular areas that were the most concerning for him and what he thinks led to this 4-12 debacle of a season?
He talked about special teams a lot. I mean, I think most of the press conference was talking about his future and how this organization is going to fill Rick's absence. But, he talked a little bit about injuries. Obviously, he said, we can't make excuses. We're as good as our record is. But, he acknowledged that there are definitely areas that need to get better. But you just hope to have a healthy team next season.
All right, before we let you go, I'm curious, in regards to Rick Smith in this GM position, what are some names that you may have heard, or have you heard of any names that may be thrown out that might be on the short list that would be the Texans GM next year?
I think Brian Gain is the one that I've heard the most. He's in Buffalo now. And to me, this is really interesting because after Rick's press conference, it seems like maybe they were just going to have someone step up year and then he would come back. Now it seems like more like they're hiring a GM for the future. If it was the first case, I don't know that he'd be interested. I mean, I think it would be hard to get a guy to come and say, hey, come be the GM for 1 year, make these decisions. And then you'll probably still have another job. You'll have a job in the organization, but Rick Smith is going to take it back. So now I think if you have the flexibility to tell guys, like, this is your team, you're the general manager, and you're going to make those decisions. I think Bill spoke very highly of him today. It seems like they get along. And I think ultimately that's kind of what the McNairs are looking for, someone who can work with Bill. And as Bill said today, I just have the same vision and kind of have an alignment in their views for how this team is going to be run.
And Sarah Barshop of ESPN joining us here on the HRNP listener line. Real quick before you go, Sarah, is there any possibility at all that Bill O'Brien will be back this season and not get a contract extension?
He said he would coach without one. I don't think so, just because I think unless they go with a GM that he doesn't feel that he shares the same vision as him. I mean, Bill was not, I asked him today, I said, so, because he was kind of non-committal talking about it. He said, I feel like I'll be back. He wouldn't say for sure. So I said, well, if the McNairs hire a GM that you don't feel has that same vision as you, could we see you not come back next year? And he didn't really answer that. So there's definitely a scenario where that's a possibility, but I think he'll have an input on the hiring process for general manager, and I think he'll find a contract extension after that.
Thanks a lot, Sarah. We appreciate it. Good stuff.
Thanks for having me on.
We're going to go to a break. We'll come back and talk a little bit about the tap dancing Bill O'Brien and Sandman coming out for Bill O'Brien. That's not going to happen. He's going to get everything he wants, apparently, or probably. And if he doesn't, that would be more interesting to me. That would be more fun if the McNairs told him,
no.
We're going to do what we want to do. And then I'd love to see
it. It kind of happened, though, right? I mean, with Rick, it was like, no, Rick's not going anywhere.
Yeah, but you say Rick's not going anywhere, but he gone. Right?
Yeah, but I think the circumstances are different, though. If his wife wasn't going through what she's going through, would he be?
I fully understand.
Because like we said, a week ago.
Well, I don't. But his wife was going through that a week ago.
Right, but I think
2 weeks ago.
But I don't think most people knew about that. That's what I'm saying.
But I'm saying what changed that he felt he needed to step away now when he didn't feel he needed to step away in September or October or November or December.
Yeah.
You know, and to bring her there yesterday to say, look how healthy she is. She's in good shape and good to go now. But these are things we don't know, so I'm not even going to take wild stabs at. But you said he's not gone. Yes, he is. He might be coming back, but right now, okay. Today, he gone.
Okay.
And we go.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back in. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. We didn't even get into college football from last night.
Not yet.
that Oklahoma Georgia game was entertaining.
Man, that was fun.
That's wasn't the greatest football necessarily, but it was fun to watch. Did you watch any? Did you watch any of the coaches' film room? I watched most of the game on that. Once the game got started, I switched over there.
Where was that at?
Man, it was on ESPN. Had 5 or 6 different channels running.
Okay.
But on ESPN News, they had the coaches' film room. So Major Applewhite was in there. Patterson from TCU and a man from North Carolina and Hogerson was in there. And they were just, so it's like, it was too many of them, really. It was like 6 or 7 coaches sitting down watching coaches' film. And as the game is going, they're getting different angles and stuff. And they're just talking about what's happening.
Really?
It was.
I bet that was fascinating.
It was fun. I mean, these dudes, they were breaking it down. They were, they were telling what, mistakes they were making, what's happening. And you could tell some of the, especially the offensive guys who knew the offense really well, they tell you what was coming when they come out of the huddle as they're lining up. And they go, oh, they're about to do this. And they're about to do that. And there was one touchdown. Georgia had a 3rd and 8, at about the 40 or something, 3rd and 8. And they walk up and before the snap, Major Applewhite goes, oh, he needs to check this to a run. They need to run this. Don't throw to try to get it. And, you don't run for it on 3rd and 8. Run, touchdown. Boom. He's like, there it is. He said, there it is before the guy got the handoff. He said, there it is. Gone.
That's awesome.
Oh, man, it was cool. It was good stuff.
But, yeah, I watched the – for the most part, I watched the Georgia-Oklahoma game. I wasn't as focused on the Alabama-Clemson game because, quite frankly, it was a boring game. And Alabama does a great job of making games boring and to their advantage. I'm curious to see, though, what's going to happen in this national championship game, because if you watch what the Alabama defensive line did to that Clemson, there were times when I'm watching it thinking, man, some of these stunts and the things that they're doing, that's NFL caliber stuff that they're out there running and just confusing the hell out of Clemson half of the game. If you really watch the O-line of Clemson, there were so many missed blocks and just double teams when you double teaming the wrong guy. Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting to see.
But that's one of the things, though. I mean, I just never bought into Clemson. It just something told me all season long, like, I'm sorry, you lost the best player in the country. You can't be better. I'm not buying that idea that, oh, Clemson's just as good as they were last year. And then by the end of the year, they're even better than they were with Deshaun Watson. No, it just wasn't possible. You can't lose a guy that good and be better. Georgia, they going to run the ball.
That two-headed monster.
Yeah, that offensive line, they line up and do it, and those backs get it done. Alabama stops that.
Yes.
So it's going to be strength on strength, the old-fashioned SEC kind of football game probably. It could be very entertaining. And it's one of those deals where, and they say it all the time, you would think that Alabama never loses in this situation, but they do.
More often than not.
They say it all the time.
Yeah.
You give Saban that much time to prepare, and you can tell his team was prepared for last night.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't know if you saw this, but did you see where Alabama talked a little bit about having some bulletin board material and how they found out that Clemson head coach.
Dabo.
Yeah, Sweeney had voted them 5th in the vote by saying that they weren't ready to be a top 4 team, or they weren't good enough to be a top 4 team, and they used that, and they used some other things that is bulletin board material. Renfro maybe talking a little mess in last year's game, and that motivated them too. I don't know that. To me, I think that might be one of those things you say after the fact to bolster the story. But I don't know that if you're Alabama, you needed bulletin board material. Your bulletin board material was losing to Clemson last year.
Yeah, no, it's not one of those things you say after the fact. No, it was real.
But you think so?
But it would have been real if they lost too.
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying.
Okay. I mean, it's, they just,
because Auburn felt the same way about the dude from Central Florida saying, well, they hadn't seen the SEC, like, didn't really have no speed. They hadn't seen speed like Central Florida bring speed. And Auburn players are like, what? What are they talking about, speed?
Well, now, I could see.
And they went on loss, so they, they didn't get to say we use it as motivation because the motivation they
didn't
lost.
Work. I could see Bama, and I thought that they may come in with a chip on their shoulder because some people were saying they didn't deserve to have that fourth spot. They didn't even win their conference. I was one of them saying, if you don't, you didn't even win, you're not even the second best team in the SEC based on the fact that there is a championship game against supposedly the two best teams in the SEC. We're seeing that not the case now. But I don't know. I mean, to me, all the bulletin board material you needed against Clemson happened last year when you lost.
Yeah, but that was last year. That was a different team, different players. You didn't get to go out there and shut down Deshaun Watson. He gone. Yeah. So it was a different. So, but like I said, that bulletin board material is overrated. But when guys are slacking off in practice and not as focused, that's when it makes a difference. It makes a difference for guys who, it's not like they did. I mean, they were going to want to win the game regardless.
Yeah.
But when you haven't practiced and you run a couple of sloppy plays, what a teammate can say, hey, remember they said we don't belong. Oh, yeah, that's right. You know.
Yeah.
But you would say something else if you didn't have it, though. So
that's true.
It's overrated, but it is used.
It's scary how similar, like, statistically, these two teams are, Bama and Georgia. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you look at scoring, they're 12th and 17th. Passing yards per game, and this is offensively, 91st and 110th. Rushing yards a game, 10th and 8th. And that was Bama first, Georgia second, and all those. And defensively, same thing. First and fourth in scoring. 7th and 2nd in passing yards a game. 3rd and 12th in rushing. These teams, when you look at team efficiency, 92.9 to 92.0. Across the board, these teams are similar. The difference is going to be, to me, is can Georgia run on that Alabama front seven?
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't meet in the SEC championship game.
Yeah.
And then we get a rematch. Now, I'd much rather see it
I'm with you
the
on
first
that too.
Time. But the one thing, neither one of these teams are going up against an Oklahoma, which can light both of them up with that kind of quarterback and that kind of offense
that's
gotten to these kind of defenses. So it's going to be smash mouth. It should be fun. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. We'll get into a little Rockets when we start off the third hour of the Usual Suspects when we come back. This is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Menards 11% rebate is here. From lighting to lumber, from doors to floors. The bigger the project, the bigger the rebate. From painting projects to that new kitchen makeover and designing that outdoor space of your dreams. Save big on any project you're tackling. Hurry into Menards for an 11% rebate on everything. Mail-in rebate is a merchandise credit check, not a point-of-sale discount. Redeemable on future in-store purchases only. Not on future purchases on Menards.com. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.